Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
With anchorman Paul Rasmussen. Big story yesterday for a lot of people is what the president had to say about Tylenol, pregnant women, and a possible link to autism. We'll start there with CBS's Bradley Blackburn.
The biggest news yesterday was certainly on acetaminophen. It is one of the most widely used over-the-counter medicines in the world and one of the few options women have for treating pain or fever during pregnancy. And doctors groups say that the president's push to stop using it could actually do more harm than good.
If you're pregnant, don't take Tylenol.
The Trump administration is reversing decades of medical advice for pregnant patients, linking the use of acetaminophen, the active ingredient in Tylenol, with increased risk of autism, though officials provided sparse evidence to back the claim.
They're waiting for certain studies.
The FDA has directed a label change and sent guidance to doctors, though it also acknowledges there's ongoing scientific debate. Major medical groups are pushing back.
I think the announcements put a lot of fear into people.
Dr. Stephen Fleischman, president of the American College of Obstetricians and Gynecologists, says it's highly unsettling that federal health agencies are willing to make an announcement that will affect the health and well-being of millions of people without the backing of reliable data.
I worry a lot about patients who are sitting at home and maybe early in pregnancy, very early on, have fevers and decide, I don't want to take Tylenol without realizing that the fever itself is a problem. And having high levels of fevers that go untreated early in pregnancy can lead to CNS abnormalities.
Acetaminophen is a counter drug approved to treat fevers during pregnancy. The announcement sent shares for Tylenol's parent company, Kenvue, plunging Monday. Kenvue says acetaminophen is one of the most studied medications in history, and it continues to believe it does not cause autism.
About one in every 31 children in the U.S. is diagnosed with autism, a rate that has increased sharply in recent years. But experts believe that is mainly due to a new definition of the disorder that includes mild cases. And they say that for now, science points to no single cause.
CBS's Bradley Blackburn. But what they didn't present yesterday was any back information, you know, backup to support the claim.
Larry, you and I looked into this before the program started, and so I just did a Gemini AI search, and the question I asked was, person who did research linking acetaminophen and autism, and we found that there were three different people who've done some research, an epidemiologist at the University of Massachusetts Lowell, the dean of the Harvard School of Public Health, and an assistant professor at the Icahn School of Medicine at Mount Sinai. All three of these have done research that shows a potential link between acetaminophen and a need of, prenatal disorders women are taking. And I think that the thing that really is upsetting about this, at least to me, if I were married or, had a pregnant wife, would be, what else can they take? Because ibuprofen is not recommended either. Neither is aspirin, right? And we have children, of course. We're not supposed to give them aspirin because of Reye syndrome. So this is, problematic. I understand the problem that they're running into here. There's a clash of, medical information. One thing that I was surprised, though, Larry, was that there were a number of, these three studies that popped right up just on a typical web search through Google, and yet we're not hearing much about those. What we are hearing is, from people who are opposed to this, and I understand why they would be, but I think people deserve all the information we can glean for them.
Yeah, and we're going to ask a physician about that coming up here, actually at the bottom of this hour, who's done a lot of research.
How would you like to be an obstetrician and be handling this question for the next several weeks?
That and vaccines and, you know, if you're raising children, and then what about people who have children who are on the spectrum thinking to themselves, maybe guilt, like, well, should I have known this or not? I mean, they shouldn't, you know what I mean? It's another emotional touch point for a lot of people.
Well, I can say that, you know, autism has touched our coworkers' families. Colin Dunlap has a son who's on the spectrum. My youngest sister's teenage boy, Andrew, is very much on the spectrum. Questions if he'll be able to live independently, in fact.
Yeah, I have a nephew who's on the spectrum, and many, many, many people I know. Now, it does beg the question, what is the link? I mean, even if this turns out to have some, real science behind it at some point, it's not vetted out completely.
Right.
The message was, if you're pregnant, don't take Tylenol as a precaution.
Right.
However, what's the alternative to your point?
Yeah.
But there has to be something else.
Yes. And I think the key sentence, by the way, in the search that I did this morning, the key sentence that comes up about what the research shows about a link between acetaminophen and autism is this. The scientific debate on this topic is ongoing. It's not a settled matter.
No.
Right? And a key point of the discussion is the difference between correlation and causation. Just because you can notice that something's correlating with a certain number of patients in the research doesn't mean that that particular correlation is the actual cause. That's the problem that they have right now.
Well, we'll ask, and we'll do this with multiple different sources, because there are a lot of people who have spent their careers trying to figure out what is there an environmental link to, what is the cause for kids to be autistic and be on the spectrum. And this is just one conversation. There are others to be had. Listen for The Drive at 5, top stories driving the day's news, weekday afternoons with Colin Dunlap. Brought to you by Service Master of Greater Pittsburgh, Demand the Yellow Van. So a few showers now pushing through, mostly pushing north of the city right now, but rain, remember that? I actually walked outside yesterday. This is in the evening, starting to get dark, and it was just spritzing a little. And I took my time putting a letter in the mailbox, put the flag up. Very exciting to be out in the rain.
You wanted to feel the drip?
I did.
Well, and I think it's different because in the summer, we got rain all summer, but it was just extremely humid. Still humid, but knowing that we're going into cooler temperatures, I think makes it better.
But there was a period where the wind was blowing, it wasn't raining
yet,
and it blew all those dead leaves off the trees because of the drought.
Mm-hmm.
As we learn, the leaves dry out first because the tree's conserving water, right? So it's earlier than it normally would be in the fall.
Yes, it's doing it much earlier this year. I'm out with the leaf blower.
Yeah, they're
getting
everywhere.
The leaves away from my garage door and the front of the house so they don't blow in when I pull the vehicle in.
My neighbor Bob has a nuclear leaf blower device. He's got this giant backpack that looks like he could take off into space.
Wow. You mean like the ones that the landscaping people wear?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Big, giant backpack, gas powered. Maybe nuclear powered. Definitely non-solar powered.
Mine runs out of juice right when I get to the street with the leaves.
Do you have battery?
Yeah, just a little one. It doesn't make much noise, but it does the job.
There's something, I don't know what it is, there's something satisfying about using a leaf blower.
I like it.
Yeah, yeah. I was outside in my backyard, and when you stand there, you really can take in, there were leaves everywhere. It was actually insane.
I've actually watched a neighbor use his leaf blower, rather much more powerful than mine. I've watched him remove snow from his sidewalk with it in the mornings when I was out walking my dog.
Yeah.
If it's not a real wet snow,
right,
you can do that.
Yeah, if it's a dusty snow. Yep.
And let's not talk about snow now. At least now. How about this? There's a new thing for young people, Aaron. Inheritance impatience. Some adult children who can't seem to pay their own rent have been nagging their parents for a piece of their life savings.
Boy, for a minute there, I thought you were going to say that the kids were telling their folks to hurry up and die.
No, no. Woo. Paul, that would be second on the list. So parents are complaining they're feeling pressure. They're calling it inheritance impatient, and it's gotten so bad, some elderly moms and dads have been pestered into everything of passing down dream vacations to skipping your doctor's appointment or even surgery to save the money for us.
I would believe that. I would. I don't know. It's funny. When I was in high school and college, I don't think I heard too much about like, oh, you know, I've got an inheritance or like a trust fund waiting for me. But I've heard it actually recently from a few, and I'm like, oh, okay, that's what's happening.
Come on, guys, you're going to give it to us anyway eventually. Yeah. Just give it to us now.
Right now.
We're going to blow it later, but we'll just do it now. How about this story? DoorDash Hero. Listen to how creepy this is as we're approaching October and Halloween. A DoorDash driver was smart enough. He noticed something was strange when someone ordered stuff that he was delivering. One driver in Texas was so put off by one guy's delivery request that he called the police. The driver was allegedly asked to pick up trash bags, zip ties, bleach, and a hatchet.
Eek,
and
God.
Deliver them to a motel.
What?
A few hours west of Dallas. So he tipped off the police. They found a hostage inside and arrested the man on kidnapping charges. Thanks.
Wow.
DoorDash.
Oh, and my goodness.
And what again was the primary clue here?
What he asked the driver to pick up.
What he asked the driver to pick up and drop off, yeah.
Oh, I get it. I missed that part. I'm sorry.
Yeah, trash bag, zip ties, bleach, and a hatchet.
Wow.
That's usually a sign that something funny lunch meat's going on.
Yeah.
Wow.
And how about this? We're next hour going to talk to the medical director of the cardiology department at Butler Hospital, right? Because AFib and Heart Month, and so many people obviously are affected by that. But check this out. A Virginia man left the gym, and as he's leaving, he realized he can't breathe. He ended up crashing his car into the parking lot of a cardiologist's office. The doctor was inside. He had suffered a widowmaker heart attack and was clinically dead. Had he not crashed into the parking lot of the cardiologist, he would not have made it. The doctor saved his life in the moment, and he's apparently going to be fine after surgery. So, somebody was watching over this guy, right?
Yeah, that's major.
My question is, he was at the gym, right? You're thinking, yeah, working
I'm
out.
I'm good. I'm good. Oh, what a story.
This is the Big Kid.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Good morning show, Larry Richard. Appreciate you joining us. A lot going on. And if you're a mom and dad, a lot to sort through when it comes to medicine these days. And the latest, of course, President Trump announcing a possible link between Tylenol use with pregnant moms and autism. And that has generated a lot of feedback. And we are joined by an internationally renowned speaker who's a surgeon and author, a coach. He's editor-in-chief of BMJ Global Health, a lecturer, also a Harvard Medical School, and has quite a resume. And we are honored to have with us this morning a doctor. Actually,
hello.
Doctor, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm good. So welcome to KDK, Dr. Mark Schrein. Obviously, I'm curious to get your reaction because we wanted to search out somebody who would be able to give us almost a third-party feedback on this Tylenol connection to autism.
Yeah, sure. And thanks for doing that and for reaching out. Listen, it was not a surprise to hear the announcement yesterday of the purported link between the two. Basically, nobody within the medical community agrees with this. One of the most salient reasons for that is because autism was identified in the 1910s and Tylenol wasn't invented until the 1950s. So the link really can't be there.
That said, it seems to some of us have been around a long time. We don't remember as kids hearing about this. Was that because they didn't know how to diagnose this? Or there is some other link or contributing factor that we're still unaware of?
Autism is obviously it's a spectrum of presentations, and it's a very complex. There's genetic, there's potentially environmental things behind it. Also worth knowing that, you know, when I was growing up in the 1970s, the number of moons that Jupiter had was far fewer than the number of moons it has now. And it's not that those moons weren't there. We just hadn't found them yet. Similar thing going on here. Autism has probably been present for a very long time. We're only just now understanding it, describing it, et cetera.
That said, we're making an assumption that a lot of people know what the autism spectrum is. So how can you kind of give us a idea? And I know it's complicated, but share what you know about what is autism.
Sure. Very complicated presentations of autism, and it runs a spectrum. And I should also say that an increasing number of adults are being diagnosed with autism or conditions on that spectrum. It's a different way of processing the world, processing sound, processing stimuli inputs that come into you. When I say different, it's sort of not the way that we, you know, were taught that things should be done, should in quotes. So we're just starting to learn that the way that brains process outside information just vastly vary among people.
And it presents itself in many different ways. Now, many autistic people that I've known over the years are highly functional, and in some cases they have extraordinary intellect. And then there are others who are unable to communicate verbally. So the spectrum covers a lot of ground.
Bingo. Yes, absolutely. And that's why it's called sort of autism spectrum, because it covers a lot of ground. So for some people, the sensory, the auditory, the processing, the way the brain works ends up being able to fit into kind of normal, in quotes, life, able to mask some of the symptoms that we would call autism, and for others, less so. So very much, bingo, you're very much right, it's on the spectrum.
And that said, so let's talk about this particular instance where the president is suggesting pregnant women not take Tylenol. What would be their option if that's the path they choose, just to be extra safe in their mind? Because, you know, I guess if there's an alternative, then you remove the risk, even though most medical people don't think it actually exists.
Yeah, that's such a good question and such a hard question, because the fact is, of all the pain control, fever control medications that are out there, Tylenol is actually the safest that we have. So to say there's an alternative that would be safer is really tough. And that's what's, I think, the weirdest part about this announcement is you're pulling away from pregnant women one of the safest alternatives that they actually have.
And what would be the danger if they, for fever, for instance, would be more problematic or troublesome than actually the risk of taking Tylenol?
Absolutely. And in fact, that's such a good point. The fever intrauterine, fever while you're pregnant, can also lead to neural deficits, neural defects in the child after birth. So controlling the fever is far, far, far more important than trying to eliminate Tylenol, which doesn't really have that much of a risk at all in pregnancy. So it's a risk-benefit analysis like anything in medicine is. This time, though, the benefit of Tylenol far outweighs any of this potential risk that the president thinks he's found.
And I'm sure the conversations among your colleagues, what are you hearing?
Yeah, again, not a lot of surprise. We all knew this was coming. We all knew that that the treatment that he was going to propose was coming too. So none of us is surprised, but also we're very disappointed because it's not based on any solid science.
I mean, there have been physicians trying to study these links of all sorts, and there are some studies that aren't complete that are looking into this, but nothing is concrete. Is that correct?
Yeah, there definitely are studies, and the HHS did base this on one particular study. So it's not as if they pulled it completely out of thin air. It's based on a misinterpretation of that study, and also that one study was an outlier of all the others. So the bulk of the evidence is for, hey, this is a very safe drug.
And finally, doctor, what about people who have been concerned about vaccines causing autism?
Yeah, that has been around since the 1990s, since a study that was done, a very small study, I think it was 12 kids in it, that was later proven to be fraudulent. And the guy who did it had his medical license stripped for doing this, for publishing this quote unquote study. It proposed a link. The big, like millions and millions of children now have been studied across multiple countries. And there is absolutely no link between vaccine receipt and autism.
Will you get a flu shot this year, doctor?
I have already gotten flu and COVID this year.
Fair enough. Appreciate the time and expertise.
Thank you for having me.
All right, Dr. Mark Shrine, who is really, when you look at his resume, Aaron, pretty strong. He's quite well known in the medical world, Harvard Medicine, and I think a lot of people have a lot of questions, and again, recommend that you talk to your physician, the one you trust and utilize, because there's a lot of gray areas out there right now. Now we're going to check in with meteorologist Joe Lundberg at AccuWeather headquarters. Joe, good morning.
Good morning, Larry.
Looking at radar right now, we're kind of in a little drier period for the city. But we have experienced rain in the first day of fall. It's been a while. It started yesterday, but that stretch of dry weather was pretty incredible.
It was. You had to go back to June to have an above normal month in terms of precipitation across the area. So that's why we've seen the drought expand across the region. And it's pretty bad in some places. So that yesterday's rain was a nice little shot in the arm. And we're still going to see some showers and a thunderstorm over the next few days. I think it's, you know, somewhat more scattered in nature today. I mean, everybody's going to get at least some form of rain, but I don't think quite the downpours that we saw yesterday in the area. I do think, though, that there's another decent slug of rain that comes through tomorrow afternoon and into the first part of tomorrow night before things kind of settle down as we go into the day on Friday.
Yeah, and then peeking at the weekend, our first autumn weekend. A lot of people enjoying being outside, and it looks like that's going to cooperate.
I think so. I mean, I think Friday we'll start to see the drying process. Maybe there's a leftover shower. Saturday, some sunshine. I think more in the way of sunshine. And temperature going to be in the upper 70s to near 80. And I'll tell you what, if you get a chance to go up into some of the higher elevations, you go up into Laurels, I bet you're going to find some nice color. I mean, I'm seeing it where I am. And you know, if you can do a travel maybe up through the Pennsylvania Grand Canyon, it should be spectacular views for the fall foliage. It's very early for this time of the year, but it's quite spectacular where it's come out.
And that said, how much rain do we anticipate overall this week, generally?
I would say another 1 to 2 inches of rain over the next 3 days. You know, so that's good. I mean, that's what we need. Unfortunately, here's the bad news. And I was just talking about it with Bernie Rainer on our TV network. And I was saying, enjoy the rain, because once we turn the spigots off on Friday, that's it. We're not going to get any rain, I think, for about another 7 to 10 day period after that.
Oh, wow. That's significant. All right, Joe, the leaf peepers, take heed. in what Joe says.
That's my tip of the day.
All right, thanks. Appreciate you.
You're welcome.
Meteorologist Joe Lundberg at AccuWeather Headquarters. So you heard that, Aaron. If you want to go peep at leaves, jump in the car maybe this weekend.
Quick turnaround.
Yeah. Tell Vinny, hey, we're going leaf peeping. What?
Tylenol, acetaminophen, has been used for decades. In terms of alternatives during pregnancy, there really is no good alternative for pain and fever because things like aspirin and non-steroidal anti-inflammatories like ibuprofen, they can have very serious side effects.
And there we have the crux and the problem all in one nutshell from Dr. John Lapook with CBS.
Yeah, as you just heard, we also spoke to another physician, so a lot of questions, a lot of gray areas.
Is there a correlation between autism and acetaminophen? Well, some studies have indicated perhaps it does. Others say no, it's not conclusive. But the real question is there causation? One thing, you can have a correlation, but then does it actually cause? We don't know that yet, do we?
Yeah, and most of the medical community is saying no today.
From Hollywood, it's Jimmy Kimmel Live!
So ABC reinstating the show tonight, Larry, after suspending it due to Kimmel's incorrect comments about the man charged in the shooting death of Charlie Kirk.
It's surprising to me that he's coming back this soon. I thought they were just going to keep him off the air.
They had talks. The top people at ABC and Disney had talks with Kimmel over the last couple of days. He's expected to make some comments about the controversy tonight, but not apologize.
And Robert Thompson, who's an expert from Syracuse University in kind of cultural things, said that they've managed at ABC to make everybody mad.
That's a great point he made, isn't it?
And all the people that canceled the Disney and Hulu subscriptions and ESPN, boy, who were in protest of that.
See, now the hazards of overreacting right away, right?
Yeah, so yeah. We'll see what Jimmy says tonight. We'll have it for you in the morning.
And by the way, if you want to hear more from Thompson about this thing, we've got that coming up at our 7 o'clock news. So, Pitt is going to retire Aaron Donald's jersey during the Notre Dame game on November 15th. And what a great way to go, huh?
I just have to say, what a class act all the way around Aaron Donald is. Penn Hills native, Pitt grad, Super Bowl champion, and has been nothing but exemplary. What a day that'll be for him and his family and fans.
8-time All-Pro, 10-time Pro Bowler, just nothing but accolades. And, of course, he won the Outland Trophy, which is one of the best top defensive trophies you can win in college football.
As Bill Hillgrove used to say, guess who? Aaron Donald. Forward to going to Ireland with tens of thousands of Pittsburgh Steelers fans with a big game on Sunday at Croke Park Stadium against the Minnesota Vikings. And right now, a man who's been there many, many times and was the right-hand man of the late Ambassador Dan Rooney when he was in Dublin, his son Jim, who also well-known for the book he wrote about his dad, A Different Way to Win. Jim Rooney, good morning.
Larry, good morning. You're going to make me cry starting off with Danny Boy.
I know. It affects people emotionally in a lot of ways, but I'll tell you what, I think of your dad a lot and what Ireland meant to him and as the ambassador, and you were there for much of his stint. What an incredible connection for this game, for the Steelers fans, and for everybody involved. It's going to be a blast.
Well, we actually have to go past my father about 1,000 years. So in 795 AD, the Vikings invaded Dublin, and it was an Irish king named Mac Runahan, which is the Gaelic name for Rooney, who fought back the Vikings then, and I think we have to uphold that legacy over 1,000 years later this weekend.
Oh, that's tremendous history. Paul, you love that.
I absolutely love that. Let that be a lesson to the Nordic types, right?
Exactly.
Well, that said,
my wife is one of them, so I got to be careful here.
Oh, you were just there. This city, Dublin, is really anticipating this for a long time. Very excited to be the site for this game, right?
I have had more requests for tickets for this game than our last Super Bowls. The love, the excitement. I've never seen it, and I did all the advance work in 1996. I guess it was the summer of 97 when we played there. And it was a fun trip, and I enjoyed that. But it was nothing. We were hustling to try and get people in the stands. And this is the biggest thing to happen in Dublin. I mean, it's massive. It's like the draft is going to be here in Pittsburgh.
And I'm thinking to myself, for fans who are going for the first time, what's kind of your cheat code to enjoy Dublin while they're there?
Well, I mean, you know, the tours of Dublin, which a lot of them include Viking ruins and you know, the Viking invasion. But there's a couple of really good tours of the history, you know, the ancient history that I talked about, going to Trinity College, the Book of Kells, seeing some of the great writers, you know, the great poet Seamus Heaney. You know, obviously so many of these amazing writers, Oscar Wilde, who all hung out in and around Trinity College, Dublin. So I think those are some good things to do. And then the Steelers have some really fun things. So we're going to be taking over a bar called Fitzsimmons Pub in the Temple Bar section of the town. And then in Marion Square, I think it's starting on Thursday, we have a tailgate going every day until Sunday morning. So there's going to be a lot of traditional Irish things to do, as well as some fun Steeler activities.
Not too long ago, Jim, on the program this morning, Larry mentioned that you have just returned from Ireland, and I'm curious to know if you're going back for the game.
I am not.
What?
So I have many, many family members that are going to be here, but I have to be in town. I have a meeting in New York City, which everyone said you could have made, but I didn't trust it. On Monday that I have to be at.
Wow. I'm curious, how many arts and dance in your family? Have you ever counted?
Well, there's just as many Jims, you know. So Art, Dan, and Jim were the chief and his two brothers. Their grandparents were either named Dan, Art, or Jim. And Jim Rooney, as I tell them all, as I remind them, was the first Rooney to leave Ireland, and was who the original Steeler team was named after. So there's a lot of those three names.
I can't imagine what your mom and dad would have been thinking about this trip, you know, because your dad hosted, while he was ambassador, games on the grounds, right, at the ambassador residence.
Right, the 4th of July game was just such, it was a...
Listen up, football fans, you won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Flag football game, and it was tremendous. And, you know, mainly it was played by the Marines who were serving, and at the center of the field, he had the seal of the United States of America. And we're going to replicate that. We're going to do several flag football games, including in Northern Ireland. So on Friday, my brother Art and my nephew Dan are doing a quick swing through Belfast and Newry, the town where the Roonies are from, and they're doing a kicking clinic, a couple flag football clinics, and then they're going to do some work with the American Ireland Fund. They're going to visit a school that the Ireland Funds, which is the organization my father started to help bring peace, culture, and charity support to Ireland, they're doing a major visit in the north on Friday.
Jim, what's the mood in Dublin? What's the atmosphere that you left behind?
It's as excited as I said, as I've ever seen. I mean, it's like the Super Bowl. And, you know, I mean, everyone is fired up. The NFL, I have to give the NFL credit. I mean, you know, it's important from a Steelers standpoint, but the NFL has really made it look first class. It's professional. You see all over the place. You can see all kinds of fun and exciting sort of signage. And the community has bought in a way that you know, again, as I said, 20, 30 years ago, we just didn't get this type of buy-in. And it's so fun to see them this excited about Pittsburgh, about the NFL, about American football.
Are they aware, Jim, of the close connection? We have so many Irish connections here in southwestern Pennsylvania. So when people go to Dublin that are going for the first time, they're going to be very welcomed by the natives, correct?
Well, to be fair, the Irish are some of the most kind and welcoming people I've ever been. I've had the chance to travel all over the world, and there's wonderful people everywhere, and I've seen terrible towels everywhere in the world. But, you know, I have to say that I've never seen the Irish treat anyone with anything but the biggest welcome, and, you know, offering them a pint of Guinness and having them, you know, they'll if you say I don't have a place to stay, they'll have you stay at their home. So they're welcoming to everyone. But I think the years of the Pittsburgh connection has been strong, and people will feel kind of a special gleam in the eye, as they say, when they tell someone they're from Pittsburgh over there.
And the game airs Sunday here at 9:30 in the morning, 2:30 local time in Dublin. Steelers, Vikings. Very excited. Jim, appreciate your time this morning. We'll catch up and enjoy the game. And tens of thousands of Pittsburghers are going to enjoy Ireland.
When are you headed over, Larry?
Tomorrow after the show.
All right. Well, you have a good, safe trip, and call us a winner.
I'm excited about the opportunity. It's a chance of a lifetime, and we're going to make the most of it. Thanks so much, Jim.
Thanks, guys. We'll see you.
Jim Rooney, son of the late, great Ambassador Rooney of Ireland, and his different way to win book is in an audio form now. It's really enjoyable.
The story about his ancestors driving away the Vikings is a classic.
That?
It's an absolute classic. Now,
every Tuesday at this time, we check in with another medical professional brought to you by Independence Health System Expert Care here. And this morning, we have with us Dr. Menender Betty, who is the medical director of cardiac electrophysiology at Butler Memorial Hospital. I think I got that right, Doc. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Good. So on our live stream, you can see the good doctor at kdkradio.com, presented by Metropolitan Window Company. And don't forget our YouTube page as well. Doc, such an important subject to talk about, the heart. So many people, as you are acutely aware, have issues or family members. So let's start by talking about AFib. We hear about AFib all the time. What is AFib?
Yeah, it's an interesting question. Atrial fibrillation is an irregular heartbeat. Most commonly, you know, they're categorized as arrhythmias, which are electrical disturbances of the heart. But what happens in atrial fibrillation is you have an irregular heartbeat, which can cause you to have shorts of breath, palpitations, history of, you can have heart failure, you can have strokes from this. Almost 20 to 40% of people who have atrial fibrillation can have these problems. So it's so because of the electrical activity of the heart, which gets very chaotic, you can develop all these symptoms and palpitations, and you can, and that basically, in short, what atrial fibrillation is, it's an irregular heartbeat, which comes from the top chambers of your heart.
And how would I know I'm having AFib? Would I feel a fluttering, or how would it present?
So atrial fibrillation is very interesting. It can present in many ways. The commonest is when people feel that their hearts are racing. They complain of shorts of breath. They complain of tiredness, or they develop something called congestive heart failure. A lot of times they'll just present with a stroke. Many times they don't even know if they're having atrial fibrillation, and that's the problem we face with atrial fibrillation, is almost 20 to 30% of people will not even know they're having atrial fibrillation. So that's where we face a dilemma, and the patients need to, people need to, you know, regularly check up with their physician to make sure they're not having atrial fibrillation.
Is there a testing that you should do maybe annually to check on that? Is there a way to get those early risk factors identified?
So the risk factors for atrial fibrillation are, you know, commonly are diabetes, heart failure, you know, coronary artery disease. If you have age is obviously the biggest risk factor. For every decade of life you live, the incidence of atrial fibrillation goes up by 2 to 5%. So if you have heart failure, diabetes, you know, if you have coronary artery disease, your risk is very high. So I think the people have to have regular checkups with their physicians. A lot of times we can find atrial fibrillation by just doing a simple EKG in the doctor's office. If people complain of symptoms, we can do a long-term heart monitor they wear for a week or two to find out if they have atrial fibrillation. But the key is that we have to find atrial fibrillation. The earlier we find it, the better.
What's the difference between a heart attack and AFib?
In simplistic terms, a heart attack is when you have a blockage in your arteries and you may require a stent or medications. Atrial fibrillation is electrical abnormality. So I'm a cardiac electrophysiologist, and the interventional cardiologists deal with heart attacks. So I'm the electrician of the heart, and I call the interventional cardiologists the plumbers. So AFib is more of an electrical problem than a plumbing problem.
Boy, that's well said. And you know what? Even a guy like me can understand that. That's outstanding. So what are some of the latest advancements in AFib treatment and management?
So the key for atrial fibrillation, number one is to prevent strokes and congestive heart failure. So the number one key is to start people on blood thinners as soon as possible, depending on their risk factors. But in the last, traditionally, we have used medicines to cure atrial fibrillation. But over the last 5 to 10 years, we've had significant breakthroughs in technology. A procedure called an ablation has become very popular. Traditionally, we used heat or cold to ablate atrial fibrillation. In the last year, we've had a new technology called pulse field ablation, which is a newer technology, which is much safer. And also the success rate is much better than curing people with atrial fibrillation. So it's a procedure called an ablation when we go into the heart and we try to electrically depolarize the cells in the back wall of your heart to prevent you from having atrial fibrillation.
And the success rate is very good, I hear, and it's non-invasive in the sense you're not getting cut in the chest.
Oh, yeah, you're not getting cut in the chest, but I would call it minimally invasive because we do go through the leg. We make two tiny puncture holes in the leg and then go into the heart through that with tiny catheters, and then we do this ablation. Usually, the procedure is under an hour, and our patients all go home in 4 to 6 hours.
Great information, Doc. Appreciate the time this morning. Keep up the good work.
Thank you very much. Have a good day.
You too. The medical director of cardiac electrophysiology at Butler Memorial Hospital, Dr. Maninder Bedi, and really important information too. And brought to you by Independence Health System, expert care. Rarely addressed in this city yet, human trafficking occurs. At a critical time to spot and stop human trafficking, the U.S. Department of Homeland Security is trying to get the word out. Erica Reed is the acting section chief at the Center for Countering Human Trafficking. Erica, good morning.
Good morning. Good morning, Larry. How are you?
Good. I think you understand and know what I mean when I say it's not a subject people want to talk about. They say it's not happening here. Is it?
Yeah, it's happening everywhere. I think that is one of the myths that we always want to put out there and dispel is that human trafficking happens across the country, across the world. So we want to make sure people understand that human trafficking doesn't have a particular place or it's the crime that's happening in just one particular area.
And one of the concerns, and this coming from the Department of Homeland Security, is kids back in school. Parents, teachers, coaches, other adults who work closely with kids, what are some of the warning signs that we all should be looking for?
Some of the indicators that I can provide today are, for example, bruising. And I'm not talking about those kids that play sports or anything like that, but you notice that there are new bruisings on them. Or maybe they have a new tattoo, and it's not a coming-of-age tattoo or a best friend tattoo, but you see, like, matching tattoos, and sometimes traffickers can use that to identify what they consider as their property. Some other ones could be recent change in behavior. Maybe they're a little bit more secretive, and not like a teenager, but a little bit more secretive in a different way. Maybe their grades have changed. Those are just some things to look out for. Maybe they were outgoing at one point, and they're not as outgoing now. Some of the other indicators that we kind of dismiss are large amounts of money or expensive items. Those also can be indicators of human trafficking as well.
So a parent might ask, boy, that's hard to separate from some of the process of going through preteen years, and, you know, it's hard to sort what's normal transition and what's not.
That is true. I think when it comes to human trafficking and it comes to the indicators, usually if you see one indicator, you're going to start to see multiple ones as well.
And when you say trafficking, if somebody, I think a lot of people think kidnapping, but that's the end result in some cases. But how are they being groomed otherwise?
Well, what we do is when we go out and we dispel those myths about what human trafficking is. So I had the opportunity to go to a high school and I asked the same question of what is human trafficking? And they say creepy white van, which, of course, is kidnapping. And so we were able to dispel the myth with the young people to say that trafficking doesn't have to be kidnapping. You can be trafficked by someone you know. You can be trafficked by a parent, by other peers as well. And we've heard cases where younger people were trafficked and they went home every day. So we want to dispel the myth that it has to be only a stranger to be the trafficker.
That actually is, for many people, I'm sure, more alarming to hear.
Yeah. Some other myths are that it's only an adult male and the victim is a person that's a younger woman. We know that there are men and boys who are trafficked as well. And some of the culprits can be anybody.
How can communities or schools bring this awareness to the students, too? I mean, you should talk to your kids about it, right? What do you tell them?
Absolutely. First thing first is I think parents and even adults working with youth, they should learn the signs. They can go to our website at dhs.gov/bluecampaign and learn about human trafficking, dispel some of those myths, and we have free materials that they can also share with their schools. Post some of our posters up. Everything we have is free. We also do free trainings as well for parents, guardians, adults working with youth, and even our younger people as well. And then know how to report it. They can go to our website and learn how to report possible cases of human trafficking too.
Erica, before you go, what kind of approaches would be common for traffickers when reaching out to school-aged children?
Here's a few I can give you. I would say fake job offers. I always tell children if it's too good to be true, it probably is. Violence. We know violence is one. We hear about it a lot in Hollywood when they're, you know, promoting movies. That's one tactic. Manipulation, psychological manipulation is another one. And then some of the ones that we dismiss is peer-to-peer recruitment. A lot of times those that are victimized by the crime are charged or made to also recruit others to be victimized as well. Online, they can meet them online. I think any place that you can communicate is another space for a trafficker to be. And then also we have to think, when we think about online, we have to think about gaming sites as well. Those are also other spots where traffickers target.
A lot of important information, and for parents, stay in tune with the kids. Erica, thank you.
Thank you so much for having me.
Erica Reed is the acting section chief, the Center for Countering Human Trafficking with the U.S. Department of Homeland Security.
Advise pregnant women not to take Tylenol on Monday.
Been used for decades. In terms of alternatives during pregnancy, there really is no good alternative for pain and fever.
So, a lot of parents saying, what do we do? Once again, there's a lot of gray area, and the best advice we've been given to give you is speak with your physician that you trust.
You bet. The definitive link unproven, Larry. Several researchers have done studies investigating the possible association, but again, no definitive link has been proven at this point.
From Hollywood, it's Jimmy Kimmel Live!
ABC reinstating that show tonight after they suspended it due to Kimmel's incorrect comments about the man charged in the shooting death of Charlie Kirk.
You know what? Dr. Robert Thompson, who's a expert in culture, is going to join us right after the news here at 8.
He has a really killer observation about this whole thing, doesn't he?
He does. He basically said that ABC/Disney, that owns ABC, managed to upset everybody. The people that were happy Jimmy Kimmel got temporarily suspended, or indefinitely was the term at the time, and then a bunch of people canceled their Disney, Hulu, and ESPN subscriptions in protest, and then they're bringing him back, and people that were happy that he was gone are now unhappy too, so who's happy?
And by the way, the controversy's not quite over, because an entire broadcast group, Sinclair's stations, their ABC affiliates, will not run Kimmel. They're still in talks with the network about all of that. So, hey, Pitt's retiring Aaron Donald's jersey during the Notre Dame game on November 15th.
Well deserved. This guy, I'll tell you what, he was an underdog, believe it or not. Coming out of Penn Hills, they said he's too small to play in college.
As you heard,
coming out of Pitt,
Jimmy Kimmel,
he's too small to play in the pros tonight.
Well, ask him to show you his Super Bowl ring
and his multiple Defensive Player of the Year trophy.
My old friend, Bronco Nagurski, and Outland trophies, won when he was playing for the Panthers, and also an 8-time All-Pro.
Other than that,
trustee professor, television, radio, and film at the Blyer Center for
Make It Official,
popular culture at the great Syracuse University.
They're having their Hall of Fame dinner this Friday night.
Good morning, and this is all about licenses to broadcast. Who got the very first commercial license to broadcast in the United States of America?
Ding, ding, ding. That would be KDKA.
That would be KDKA Pittsburgh, indeed. 1920, at November 2nd, you turn what? 105.
Very good. That's why you're the ambassador of pop culture. I
KDKA
love it.
KDKA has been an answer on my exam for many, many years.
Well, we appreciate that. Boy, it's been a minute since we've talked. Robert, you're still doing what you do, your magic, and talking to Paul, our anchorman here, about what you said is ABC managed to hack off everybody.
Yeah, I mean, more and more entertainment executives have this uncanny ability to just step in stuff so ham-handedly. So they managed to really, really upset half the country when they took Kimmel off, and now they've upset the other half by putting him back on. And I think their net achievement in doing this has been virtually zero. I mean, they gained nothing from this. Everybody they made happy by taking Kimmel off, they've now taken that all back again. And now we're going to have to see the scrutiny on Jimmy Kimmel. I pity that guy because everybody from both sides of this whole argument are going to be parsing every word. I'm going to have to watch it on Hulu the next day because I'm in a Nexstar city. Nexstar hasn't announced that they're not playing it, but Sinclair said they're not playing it on their stations. And since Nexstar started this whole thing, I suspect they won't play them either.
Robert, what do you expect to hear from Kimmel tonight? I guess he is going to address the issue, but not apologize.
Yeah, you know, I don't know. We haven't heard from him at all. Unless I've missed it, I don't think we've gotten any word from him since this started on Wednesday. And, you know, he's a tough guy too. For one thing, for a guy who is, you know, in standard way, really, really sarcastic, this is a guy that started on The Man Show, for heaven's sake. He can get very sentimental. He broke into tears the day after the election. Certainly that famous broadcast after his child had such serious surgery. So he can get really sentimental, but at the same time, I think he is infuriated by this whole thing. And I think it was one of the reasons that they couldn't arrive on him coming back after the big Wednesday blow-up, is they couldn't figure out anything he was going to say that would not get ABC in trouble and all of that. So I don't know what he's going to say, but I think what he says is going to have a lot to do with how Sinclair and Nexstar respond. And ABC, if they don't put their stations running Kimmel again, are going to have to decide, can they survive without... I think, if I've got the numbers right, Sinclair has 38 stations, Nexstar has 32. That's what, 70 stations? So that's a big chunk of your network that would not be playing your program.
We're with Professor Robert Thompson, Syracuse University pop culture ambassador. That said, do we have any idea how many people in protest of him being taken off canceled their Disney, Hulu, ESPN subscriptions?
No, I haven't seen numbers on that yet. John Stewart made fun of that last night about congratulations to all of you who pretended to cancel your Hulu. So I suspect with those things, a lot of people talk about that more than they actually do it because their kids want to watch Winnie the Pooh. And you need Disney Plus to do that. I know John Oliver on Sunday specifically called for people to do that as one of the ways that they could protest.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
I think probably Disney turned around and responded to this almost as quickly as they did the first time, namely because that big petition, what, 400 names of big-shot Hollywood types that Disney and ABC have to work with and depend upon. They had that big petition. Union members, protesters, but also political leaders, including two very vocal Republicans, Ted Cruz and Rand Paul, spoke strongly out about this. And I think that the combination of all of that, and then just the fact that this became the biggest story out there, and it really did become about free speech and all of that kind of thing. I think they buckled just like they buckled the first time around back on Wednesday. But when they said indefinite suspension, to me, indefinite sounds ominous, sounds like a long time.
Right.
And he was on last Tuesday night. This is less than a week. He made the controversial comments on Monday. Nobody heard anything about that except some people were whatever. But anyway, went back on Tuesday. And then Wednesday is when everything hit the fan and the FCC chair made his comments and others decided not to do their stations and all that kind of thing. So 1 week ago tonight, he was on the air. And by gosh, he's going to be on the air again tonight.
If you were asked by ABC, if you were going to advise them on how to handle this whole controversy, what would you have suggested?
Well, I mean, I guess there is the ethical answer, and then there is the business answer. I mean, I guess ABC is a business, and one of the problems with deregulation is that these companies are able to own an enormous amount of stations, and when one company owns an enormous amount of stations, those companies can really influence power on ABC. They depend upon those companies that own those stations. So their decision, I think, was a business thing. Our stations are mad. We're going to respond to them. So that's what they did. I personally, from an ethical standpoint, think that when we get these threats, and they're going to come, politics and culture and business are going to be constantly battling it out. And when they come, I think places like ABC and I think CBS before them really need to stand up to it. I mean, Brendan Carr made those statements. ABC could have taken that to court, could have made the argument that you can't put that kind of influence on people who are that limits and chilling effect on their speech. speech, or they could have waited till Brendan Carr actually did start the procedure of taking license away, and then they could have brought that to court. I think they wanted to avoid all of that because that would disrupt or potentially disrupt business. So they just took what they thought was going to be the easiest way out. As it turned out, it wasn't so easy, and I think that's why Kimmel's back on again. But now they're right back where they started with their with the people who liked the decision to take him out.
One thing's for sure, we'll all know what he says tomorrow morning. I'm not going to be up that late, but we'll have it first here in the morning, and it'll be interesting because a lot of people have pointed out, Robert, under the FCC, under private business, free speech has a different connotation than just speaking your mind in the streets.
Yeah, it's and of course this was not a First Amendment issue yet. I mean, maybe that what Carr was saying he shouldn't have said, but so far the government is not the one that took Jimmy Kimmel off the air, or for that matter, the one that canceled Colbert. It was his own bosses. In both cases, these networks did not, and I don't think network television in general has any appetite anymore to fight these things. Which means I think these kinds of comedians are going to end up taking their jokes and playing elsewhere, and they won't be the first to have gone. In my prediction, Fallon will be the only one left because he does the old Johnny Carson, pretty much inoffensive, pretty light, unaggressive kind of stuff. There was only one late night show back in 1954 when The Tonight Show started, and it could be that we are headed back for that again. I think Fallon can kind of avoid a lot of this controversy because he is a much less pointed political satirist. He's not a political satirist at all.
Professor, always great to catch up. It's been a while. Let's not make it so long. We'll have you back. Thank you.
I'll look forward to our next conversation. Thanks.
Professor Robert Thompson, Syracuse, the ambassador of pop culture.
Well, I can tell you, Larry, whenever we have a story that deals with something exactly like this, the first person I go looking for sound clips from is Professor Thompson.
Yeah, he's been studying this. I've been... It'll be interesting to see what he says tonight.
Yeah, Jimmy, we'll find out.
Ira Rush in studio from the newsroom.
I am here. I am here.
You're giving me that look.
Say this word with me.
Okay.
Acetaminophen.
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 I did.
Okay.
Didn't I?
Wanted to make sure you knew.
Oh, I know what acetaminophen is. Tylenol.
Tylenol. I am just going to say this, and I'm going to move past it. I watched the president yesterday, and myself, as I sat there, I was infuriated, upset, nervous, scared, afraid, worried, and I think we all should be. But to have an administration where there are women in this administration to allow something like this to happen is very, very, very scary.
Who's going to say no?
Well, somebody needs to say something at some particular time. I think I will. I mean, it's crazy to me. I mean, we are in some trying times right now when you have an administration and you have women on the administration, but they don't say something. Someone has to say something. The majority have children, have kids. I mean, we've all been down this road. I have three kids myself, so I can speak on it. I am a woman, so I can speak on it. But to have an administration that would allow something like this to happen, it's worrisome. We should all be afraid. Our kids, our daughters, our grandkids, we should be afraid right now. This is crazy speak. This is very, very dangerous. And women in our country, it kills me, Larry, that we are always put in position that we have men to speak on behalf of what women should do with their bodies. Moving on. Las Vegas, do you like to gamble?
No.
You don't like to gamble?
Here's what my dad said at a young age. Why do I want to work so hard to earn a dollar to just give it to somebody else?
Well, Las Vegas is on sale. The casinos there, they're trying to bring people back to Las Vegas. So they have a sale on their hotels and shows. And I mean,
so they're having
economy.
All these sales. They used to have these big buffets, but I heard they cut back since COVID.
No, the sale runs through Friday, September 26th. You can find all the special offers in the deal by heading to the Visit Las Vegas website. So if you want to get away from all this madness and enjoy
and kick back, you
can go to Vegas and spend all your money.
Just go downtown to Rivers.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, that's probably an issue and concern, too, Larry. A lot of cities, they have their own casinos now. So no, why would you travel to Las Vegas when we have our own here? We have
that's
Washington.
That's why they have all
Erie,
these
we have
superstar shows. They have to develop other attractions like the Sphere is drawing people to Vegas. They have sports teams now.
Yes.
NFL, NHL, and soon MLB. And who knows what next, NBA. So they're
that's
trying to pull
it.
All
they
the...
They got to market some kind of way, right?
Yeah.
I guess. Trick or treat. Are you ready for Halloween? Are
no.
you giving out candy? Do you give out candy?
I don't believe in it. No, I'm kidding.
Oh, my goodness. I'm 0-3 today
yes,
with you.
We do.
Just you should have just told me not to come in today. I
oh,
told
no.
you when I sat down I was on fire. I was off yesterday. I wasn't feeling well. So I'm back.
Well, apparently you're feeling much better.
But anyway... Candy, the tariffs on candy is going up. So an average, they said last year, a 48-count box was of treats, candies, was $40. This year, it's well over $50. So some people are going to turn their porch light out for Halloween.
Chocolate is through the roof.
Absolutely.
I'll never forget going past a famous athlete's house with the kids, and there was duct tape on the doorbell that said, "No candy here."
Thanks,
that's
Larry.
That's what Trending with T.
All about.
All right.
See ya.
Morning show. One of our top local stories is big plans for a Pittsburgh public safety campus on the old Veterans Hospital site that you see up on the hill across Route 28 down there. And in studio is Deputy Mayor and Director of Office and Management and Budget, Jake Pollack. Jake, welcome back. Good to see you.
Good to be here, Larry.
And by the way, full disclosure, you can be seen on our live stream,
gotcha.
Just so you know.
Thank you.
At kdkradio.com. Appreciate you coming in, though. This is a big deal because City Council unanimously passed the vote to get this thing started, which is $1.8 million to put a site plan together.
Right.
168 acres. Some
it's
of that
site.
Unusable, but that's huge.
It is. It's a very large piece of land. You can't find sites that large anywhere else inside city limits, obviously.
Right, especially in a city. I didn't realize, though, that hospital, that facility is not being used.
Yeah, it's a whole campus. Right? So it's not just one hospital building. It's a large series of buildings. There are buildings that were hospitals, buildings that were support facilities. And it's been closed for many years. The city acquired it the process started in 2017. I think we finally fully took possession in 2020, but the process has been going on since then, but it's been unused for a long time.
But the clock is ticking on that because you have to have a plan in. So to get this thing going, if it were to be streamlined, let's say mm-hmm. best case scenario, when would you be able to turn it into this Pittsburgh Public Safety campus?
Right now, our best projections say that would take at least 5 years, but we have to. We are under obligation to the federal government, basically, to keep the land. They sold us the land for $1, right? And in exchange for getting it at that price, we need to use it for a public purpose. There are a list of options. We selected public safety, right? So we need to be moving down the field, as it were, towards that. And the next step in that process is having a site plan. That identifies how we're going to utilize the space.
So give us kind of the elevator pitch on what this will become if all things work out and who will be best served by it.
Sure. So the baseline is that the city of Pittsburgh does not have adequate training facilities for any of our first responders. Right. We rent space from the CCAC for Police Training Academy. It's fantastic space, but it's not space we own and control. We have terribly outdated facilities, frankly, for our fire bureau.
Was that down on Washington Boulevard?
It
or
is.
Was that years ago?
That's still where it
it's
is.
Still
it's,
there.
It's a combination of a very old building.
A tiny building,
some trailers, that we use there for temporary space, and a burn tower where they can do live demonstrations that we can't use, right? And then our paramedics and EMTs train in a tiny building. Many listeners will have seen it if you're on Liberty Avenue heading into the city. there, you'll see what you think of as a paramedic station because there's often an ambulance parked outside. That's actually our training facility, tiny squat building.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
That's the extent of our training space. None of it is up to the needs for the numbers we have or the types of equipment and training that we need to provide. And that's a legacy of when the city was in tough financial straits during Act 47 in the past couple of decades, right? When investments should have been made in those facilities, they weren't. And so the real consequence is a couple of things. One, either we don't have space we can use well, or two, we're sending folks out of the city to the county's training facility
up in North Park. Yeah.
Or renting space, which is, you know, a recurring cost, that we don't have anything to show for in terms of, you know, real estate. So the plan for this campus is to build new combined training facilities for all of our first responders where they can have the facilities and the equipment and the modern training techniques that they need. Also, where they can train together. All the places I just mentioned are spread out across the city. They can participate in joint training exercises because, candidly, when you have, you know, a major incident, let's say we have a tractor trailer turnover, right? We need firefighters there if there's a fire. Rescue for something like a vehicle entrapment is provided by the paramedics, and of course, we need police there to secure the scene, manage traffic, right? So we need the ability to train all of our first responders together. And a campus that's designed for that purpose is going to provide that solution.
That said, the ticket, as I understand, to build out would be about $86 million.
That's our current best estimate.
Where would that funding come from?
Like any major investment in a facility like this, it would be bond funding, right? So we would issue bonds that would deliver that money up front for the construction, and we'd pay them back over time.
This stretches back to the Peduto administration, at least the genesis. You want to carry it through, but there'll be another administration. How does that work?
You know, anything, any project like this is going to carry on for many years and likely cross multiple administrations. You're right. You know, it was the Peduto administration that worked out the initial deal with the federal government to purchase the site, and they put together the first plan for the campus. Theirs was a more expansive plan. It would have also included relocating a police station there, police headquarters there, a number of other facilities. And that, I think, that original plan, frankly, has been the source of some of the controversy about this. People are comparing it to things being built in other cities where you put all of, not just all of your training, but all of your sort of first responder facilities in one place. It also would have been far more expensive to think about moving all of those things to this site. So we've made some other changes, right? We've secured the ability to purchase our existing police headquarters, which we also currently rent, meaning we won't need to relocate that for the foreseeable future, and have scaled back, actually. If you can believe it, the $86 million price tag is a much reduced price compared to what it would have taken to build something that also included all those other components.
We're with Jake Pollack, Deputy Mayor, City of Pittsburgh. We'll have more in curious what the pushback is coming up on the Big K Morning Show.
Trump advised pregnant women not to take Tylenol.
Acetaminophen has been used for decades. In terms of alternatives during pregnancy, there really is no good alternative for pain and fever.
And a definitive link is unproven, but several researchers have conducted studies investigating a possible association between acetaminophen and autism.
Well, it's definitely touched off strong reaction. So we'll see where this goes.
From Hollywood, it's Jimmy Kimmel Live.
ABC reinstating the show tonight after suspending it due to Kimmel's incorrect comments about the man charged in the shooting death of Charlie Kirk.
So the interesting part is, it's just a week later, we thought it might be much longer, but ABC said they've talked with him, yet they've suggested he's not going to apologize, so everybody's wondering, what's he going to say?
Right. And Pitt retiring Aaron Donald's jersey, Larry, during the Notre Dame game on November 15th.
Aaron Donald has been such a treasure. Penn Hills, Pitt, Super Bowl champ, giving back to the community. Good for him. That'll be a fun day.
This is the kind of career that he had just in college. He won the Bronco Nagurski and the Outland trophies, both.
And a Super Bowl. And multiple Defensive Player of the Year awards, along with being a nine-time All-Pro.
Other than that,
what has he done?
Well, they said he was too small, right?
He's too small to play in college. He's too small to play in the pros. Just keep smiling, Aaron. And the AD, Alan Green, surprised him at his home in L.A., coordinated with his wife to be told, we're retiring your jersey. So good for Aaron Donald. Jake Pollack is with me, Deputy Mayor of the City of Pittsburgh. We've been talking about this Pittsburgh Public Safety Campus, which will be a training center, and last night approved unanimously by City Council to move forward with the plan, which costs $1.8 million. How long a process will that take, do you think, Jake, to do that?
We expect to have that plan back by late spring of next year, which will put us on target to meet a deadline to supply that to the federal government in June.
And then that meets the requirements to keep this thing going.
Yeah.
Have you heard from, well, you don't know who the next mayor is going to be for sure, or the administration. Mm-hmm. So how does that work where you would keep this on track beyond current administration?
Sure. So our goal is to leave the next mayoral administration in a position to move forward if they choose to. And we certainly think that these training facilities are necessary, right? But so we'll have commissioned the study. If this waited until next year, there wouldn't be enough time to complete the study. We'd effectively be making the decision for them, right, that it wasn't moving forward. So by starting this process now, they'll be on track to meet the deadline and continue from there. We'll also plan into the budget the funds it would take to construct the facility. Whether they ultimately greenlight that work will be their choice and City Council's choice in the future.
What else is on your agenda?
Well, there's a whole lot that we're trying to finish before the end of the year. Work that we've started and been working on for the past 4 years that we want to bring to a close. We're really excited that also finally passed yesterday. We got the approval from City Council to enter an agreement with Allegheny County and Pittsburgh Public Schools to bring the 11-year process of fully standing up the Pittsburgh Land Bank to a close. That agreement will mean that the land bank can utilize the sheriff's sale, which under the Pennsylvania Land Bank Act is really where a lot of its ability to move dead-end properties, tax-delinquent, vacant, and abandoned properties quickly through the process of clearing their title and selling them back to residents. That's been a very, very long saga.
Right? Yeah, a lot of red tape involved, but if it could be streamlined, it would help tremendously in getting some of these abandoned properties, too, back on the tax rolls in some way, shape, or form, right?
Exactly. And we've already done that with 90 properties in the past 4 years. When Mayor Ganey took office, not a single property had moved through the land bank. There was a lot of time lost in figuring out how the board members were going to work together and that sort of thing. We were able to get that process up and running. We invested resources from the American Recovery Act into it, and we've moved 90 properties with another 60 and going through the process right now. But we're only able to do some properties without this agreement with the county and the school district that sets rules for how we're going to work together to clear back taxes and use the sheriff's sale, which is much faster than the treasurer's sale. And that process is now fully approved. The agreement's going to be in place soon and will be underway, which is a very exciting thing for us to leave the city with.
Do you have time to stick around for a little bit? I want to ask you about the draft, too.
Absolutely.
Because there's so many stakeholders involved. Kind of get an update on where we are and what we expect. This is the Big K Morning Show. In studio with me, Jake Pollack, who is the deputy mayor of the city of Pittsburgh, and so much more. budgets, things of importance, right? All these challenges. One of the great things for me to see is the collective effort from people in this region for this draft. Now, even if people aren't interested in the draft itself or football, what it can potentially bring to this region, that's definitely a feather in the cap for the city.
Absolutely.
And
absolutely.
For your team, Jake.
Thank you very much, Larry. Yeah, no, we're really excited. Next April, right, the NFL draft is coming to Pittsburgh. You know, I think the most exciting thing for me about it is, you know, you always hear about the Steelers diaspora, right? All the Steelers fans who are spread out all across the country still watch the games in a Steelers bar on Sunday. And we're inviting everybody home, right? Come back to Pittsburgh for the draft and see how the city's changed maybe since you've left and be part of that 700,000 people we're expecting at least to come to Pittsburgh. The mayor likes to say a million. I think that's an aggressive estimate, but I think we can get there. So it's going to be a huge deal for our region. It's as far as, you know, anyone can estimate, going to be the biggest spectator attraction in Pittsburgh history. You know, we're going to activate the North Shore and Point State Park in a way that people haven't seen before and really show the city off, give our local businesses opportunities to, you know, participate and maybe be seen on a world stage. So it's a really exciting opportunity for the city.
Yeah, in downtown, too, you have Arts Landing under construction.
That's right.
Boy, I just saw that a couple of weeks ago. Boy, massive work has been done there.
Really impressive. And it'll be done in time for the draft, and there'll be programming there as well, right? So we're turning everything on for the draft and showing the city off for the whole world to see.
I know the state's working on Point State Park, and then in toward downtown, what else is going on as you build up for the draft?
Sure. So Market Square, the Pittsburgh Downtown Partnership and others are working to refresh Market Square, as you mentioned. Arts Landing is being completed in time for the draft. And then there's a whole lot of other either, you know, construction or maintenance work happening, fixing up infrastructure in preparation for having this many people coming through. So many folks will enter the city via the new airport terminal, right? That was obviously planned long before this, but those things are all kind of coming together to show our best face to the visitors.
Yeah, the new airport should be operational next month.
I know. It's hard to believe.
People need to know the tram is going away. Yes. I kind of laugh about it, but some people have said, hey, I hear we're getting a new airport. I'm thinking, where you been?
Yeah.
But yeah, this is eliminating that whole process to get from one side, the land side, they call it, to the air side. Everybody's going to go straight to the air side. Mm-hmm. And some of the amenities that they put in there, pretty spectacular. I'm sure you've taken a tour.
I actually haven't, but I'm very excited to see that.
You completed. Might know a guy.
Yes, exactly. Exactly.
Yeah, the elimination, for instance, of 8 miles of luggage conveyors. So that'll streamline the process to get your luggage after you land, which will be very popular.
Yeah, I have actually seen that, the system in the old airport. It's an engineering marvel, but it is, yes, it'll certainly a faster process.
Part of the problem, as I understand it, was they had outlived the people that built it in the sense that they had to kind of bootstrap when anything would break. And that was really part of the genesis that we got to do something. And it ended up being this plan, but it comes at a great time. So you have all these people coming from literally all over the world for this draft that will get a window into our city. And that can have a great impact on the future for other job related manufacturing, bringing people here.
Absolutely. And it's a huge opportunity to market the city to the world. It's also a huge opportunity for local businesses, right, to see, you know, increased economic activity during this. The NFL, when they do major events like the draft and the Super Bowl, they're very conscientious about providing opportunities for local businesses. So we've partnered with them on what's called the NFL Source Program, which has made over 100 local businesses sort of pre-screened, pre-selected vendors that they'll utilize as part of the event itself. And then city government and the Urban Redevelopment Authority, county government, have been working together to ensure opportunities for, in particular, newer businesses, veteran-owned businesses, minority-owned businesses in all of the festivities that'll be surrounding the draft. We also want to make sure we're inviting the visitors not just to come downtown. That's certainly where all the action will be, but they'll be staying all over the city.
Right.
There'll be events in neighborhoods throughout the city to ensure that we get to show off our neighborhoods as well.
Pretty exciting.
It is.
And that said, do we have any estimate on what kind of revenue this will bring to the region?
We don't quite know that yet, right? I mean, we have estimates but from prior drafts, but we certainly know that, you know, between rental cars, hotel stays, the drink tax, right? We expect that there'll be a lot of, a lot of increased economic activity. I mean, when Taylor Swift did her shows in Pittsburgh a couple years ago, there was in the month, I believe it was in June, right? We saw a huge spike in those types of things in that month. And it was important, you know, for the local economy and for supporting our local government. So we expect this will be a big, a big success for the region.
Well, I appreciate you coming in this morning, talking to Jake Pawlak, Deputy Mayor of the City of Pittsburgh, and initially talking about this Pittsburgh Public Safety Campus and Training Center trying to build at the old Veterans Hospital up on top of the hill, Lincoln, Leamington. You can see it from 28 across the river. Oh, yeah, that's the VA. Mm-hmm. Well, it hasn't been the VA for a while.
Nope.
The federal government owned it, sold it to the city for a dollar if you find a way to utilize it. So hopefully this works out. Yeah. I think it'd be great to have police, fire, whatever you can put there as a training center in one place still in the city.
Absolutely.
Jake, good luck.
Thanks
a lot. Hope to talk to you again soon.
Thanks, Larry.
Thanks have a good for one. Your service. Forward to today's conversation every Tuesday at this time with Lynn Hayes Freeland from Atlanta, Georgia. This Pittsburgh native is always at the ready and in tune with what's going on. You can see Lynn on our live stream presented by Metropolitan Window Company and our all-new KDK Radio YouTube page. Lynn, good morning. You look lovely.
Good morning. And let me just say something with this YouTube page. You know, this is challenging because you think you're in the center of the screen when you pull it up, but then you pull it up and I'm off to the side. You know, this is not my strong suit, just so you know, just for the record.
Hey, it's a whole new world, right? You got
it is, and you got to look to see what's behind you and all kinds of stuff. But
one constant in life is change. So if you're not comfortable with change, you're going to be fighting everything every day. Meanwhile,
every day.
I thought,
you know what? Let me just
go ahead.
I was going to pick up on your last conversation because, you know, that police training facility was a big deal here in Atlanta. They kind of started calling it Cop City. They had protests. In fact, I want to say maybe 2 years ago, one of the protesters there was actually shot and killed during one of the very highly tense protests here. So the notion of creating these spaces where police officers get this extensive training is not new, but it continues to be controversial. And I hope that the one in Pittsburgh goes off without a hitch. As I was Googling it just to get some idea, or AIing it just to get some idea where things stand here now, because I hadn't heard it in the news recently. Apparently it opened in April, so it must have opened without much fanfare, given how emotional it was to get it here.
And this space, for many people, remember the old VA hospital that sat up on top of the hill. The buildings are still there, but there are no people. It looks like a post-apocalyptic space. 168 acres, much of that not usable, but it is kind of isolated, even though it's nearest the Lincoln Leamington neighborhood. So there is some pushback on it, and it's a big effort, but a unanimous vote by City Council yesterday to approve the process to continue to go to develop a hard plan for the development of the site. So we'll see where it goes. But these things take time, Lynn, as you know.
Absolutely. And I don't know, you mentioned the VA space. Now, I know at one time there was Job Corps was up there, and wasn't the old Schumann Center up there as well? Are those included in this space that you described? Do you know?
I believe you're right. All the buildings that would be associated with that area. Yeah, I think so.
Okay. Well, and I think you're right. I mean, there is one side of that that does butt up against, I guess it's like Wiltsey Street or something in the Homewood, Lincoln, Leamington area. I could see where they would have some concerns, possibly. But otherwise, you're right. It's a very isolated piece of land that could be very effective.
Especially inside of the city limits, which space is hard to find of that nature. That said, I thought about our conversation. I thought, there's so much on the table here for Lynn. Let's start with the president's announcement about Tylenol and pregnancy and autism. What was your reaction?
Well, I'm going to be honest. When I was listening to Tamira earlier, and when she asked you to repeat acetaminophen, I thought she was going to go down that road where I guess at some point the president had difficulty pronouncing acetaminophen at the press conference yesterday. I thought that's where she was going with it, but she took it someplace else altogether. Yeah, I have very strong feelings about it. I mean, I know that, and I'll use my daughter as an example, because she has a one-year-old, so she was pregnant, you know, in the most recently, and she gets migraine headaches. And Tylenol was the only thing that gave her a small amount of relief. It didn't give her a major amount of relief, but I can't imagine how she would cope not being able to take something. And she is that person, you know, she does all the research, can't take this, can't do that, da-da-da-da-da. So I think just raising the possibility would probably have her shy away from it. And I think without the scientific information basis to make the correlation, I think that's dangerous territory. It's almost like these are opinions. They're not based in science. They're not based in medicine. It's like they're, you know, opinions. I can eat something and break out in a rash and say, oh, I wonder if that was those radishes. But that doesn't mean it was.
Yeah, there's a lot of pushback right now. And why now did this pronouncement have to be made? And what about vaccines? There's a lot of gray areas for a lot of parents. And the best advice I've heard from other physicians is mom and dad, grandparents, talk to your trusted physician and kind of step through each of these things as we move forward. That said, I want to talk to you about Jimmy Kimmel. So we'll do that when we come back with Lynn Hayes Freeland.
Okay.
Don't bite your tongue yet. Let somebody else do that for you. Beat. Every Tuesday, we check in with Lynn Hayes Freeland. We continue our conversation. And Lynn, are you surprised that Jimmy Kimmel is going to be back on the air tonight based on how it went last Wednesday?
You know what? I am, Larry, because it was so abrupt the way it happened. I thought it was going to last for a much longer period of time. I don't know what impact, you know, folks saying they were, you know, petitions to ABC folks. I do know several people who did cancel their Disney Plus accounts. I don't know what impact any of that had. I'm glad that he's coming back, but I want to see who he is coming back. Is he going to be stifled? Is he going to be limited? Because honestly, if it's going to be a Jimmy Kimmel that can only do this much on the air, I'd rather it not happen. I think we're just at a whole new place in society and certainly in broadcasting. And I think that media companies are going to have to start taking positions, which I don't think we have. I think we've just been kind of rolling over. But at some point, we'll either be squashed altogether, or we got to start taking some stands.
And in this case, it brought out a lot of opinions from a lot of different places, for, against, otherwise. But the question of free speech, when you work for a private company or public company that is also under the auspices of the Federal Communications Commission, there are different standards for what can be said. Free speech for you and me, you could go out and use curse words in the street. Nobody could really say anything about free speech to you there. But if you did it here, you would be under a different set of rules and guidelines. And so him saying that, to me, it wasn't funny and wasn't necessarily even true. But to be shut down for that is the part that, the company said, and here's the crazy part. So ABC says, indefinitely, we're going to suspend Jimmy Kimmel. Well, here we are less than a week later. He's back.
He's back, yeah.
Because it's economics, I think, and a lot of people are feeling that way.
Absolutely. And I also think, Larry, it would have been different had ABC taken that position on its own. Like, we hadn't heard from the FCC, because this is a whole new ballgame hearing from the FCC and that kind of pressure. I mean, you know, we all knew when we were coming along that I think it was like 7 words you could never say on TV. And who was it? Lenny Bruce? He the comedian that kind of...
George Carlin put that as George part Carlin, of his act.
Yes.
He had
yes,
the list.
He would push that envelope. But that was different. You know, it wasn't political in nature. It was just these words that couldn't say. We're kind of getting into this area now where having an opinion, be it right or wrong, could get you in deep, you know, doo-doo. Oh, wait, can we say doo-doo?
I don't know. Technically, no. But we'll let that one go. But Lynn, you spent most of your broadcast career being held to a different standard, and that was, as a journalist, the who, what, where, when, and why, trying to present facts and information without bias, which is challenging to do anyway. And then you had an opportunity as a talk host to express your opinions, and that's when you started getting pushback, and as anyone does doing talk, right?
Absolutely. In fact, when I delved into the world of talk show, I remember one of my colleagues, I won't say his name because I didn't tell him I was going to mention this, but he is a prominent news anchor in the city of Pittsburgh, and he said to me, people hate it when you say what you think. They just want you to tell them what happened. And I think he's right about that. You know, people really don't want to know what we think. They just want to know what happened. What are the details? And broadcasting has now gone into that gray area where if you don't say what you think, chances are people aren't going to come back and tune in or watch you. So it gets very complicated. I don't know if the business has changed so much as the audience has changed and audience expectations have changed.
Well, you know, I think there are a lot of parents right now and grandparents who are very confused by what was said yesterday about Tylenol and where we stand with vaccines. And it seems, you know, I've asked a number of physicians, well, what are you telling your patients? And that's,
right.
For now, that's what people have to rely on, is a conversation with a trusted physician, whether it's their family physician or somebody they know, and not go to the internet and self-diagnose or read all these opinions, many of which are tainted in different ways for a number of reasons, political or otherwise. So it's challenging times to raise kids right now.
It is. And let me just add a caveat to that, because what we still don't know is how many people are going to be affected or how many people will lose their medical care access, which in turn means they may lose their access to doctors. So it's great if you have a trusted physician or a trusted medical facility, but also hanging in the balance out there is the fact that tens of thousands of people may lose their medical insurance come sometime in 2026. And without that, where do you go? Who do you turn to?
That's a really great point, and very much on the forefront of a lot of people's minds is what happens next. Other than that, are you going to stay up to watch Jimmy Kimmel's monologue?
Oh, well, let me say this. I'm not really a late night talk show person. I don't really watch any of them. Occasionally I would catch Colbert just because I was watching the CBS station or whatever. But I am absolutely going to stay up to watch. I'll probably watch him for at least the next week. And I'll probably record it just in case I fall asleep, which is most likely.
That's my plan. But we'll have it tomorrow morning, bright and early here. Lynn Hayes-Freeland, I'll talk to you next week. Thank you as always.
All right. Have a good one.
President Trump advised pregnant women not to take Tylenol due to concerns about a link to autism.
Acetaminophen has been used for decades. In terms of alternatives during pregnancy, there really is no good alternative for pain and fever.
So the question is, what does a woman do who has that situation and it's created a lot of anxiety?
Larry, a definitive link is not proven yet. Several researchers have conducted studies investigating a possible association between acetaminophen and autism. It's a mouthful of a word, isn't it?
From Hollywood, it's Jimmy Kimmel Live!
And ABC will reinstate that show tonight after suspending it due to Kimmel's incorrect comments about the man charged in the shooting death of Charlie Kirk.
In spite of some of the affiliates not clearing the show to air tonight, I'm guessing his monologue will probably have the highest ratings he's had in a long time for at least one night only.
Absolutely, it will be. And Pitt's retiring Aaron Donald's jersey during the Notre Dame game coming up on November 15th.
Yeah, number 97, University of Pittsburgh, Penn Hills grad, Super Bowl champ. Other than that, defensive player of the year multiple times, Super Bowl ring. Yeah, why not?
They said he was too small.
He's too small to play, by the way. Yeah, you're right. Good for him. Happy for his family. Coming up next, we're going to check in with Marty Griffin.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not
outside of Cleveland.
You know,
the Browns, outside of
Browns.
You
know why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.